Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, and here we are, going to gather all around the world, and we're going to gather around the throne of grace in heaven and worship the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ and our great Heavenly Father. So happy to have you with us. And today we're going to have a sermon entitled, Your Most Precious Possession. What's the most precious and most important thing to you? And that's what we're going to preach about. But first of all, I want to share some of the letters. So many of you have written letters, and we just appreciate it so much. We try to answer every letter. And then we give the letters, and you can kind of see what God is doing in the world. And so I'll just read a few of them here. The first one I have today is La Crosse, Wisconsin, and this is a women's prison. And we hear from so many prisoners all over the United States. And this is from La Crosse. And this one, lady writes, I've watched your service today and I was truly set to tears. I've been saved for a little over 2 years. March 12, 2014 is my save date. For some reason, my heroin addiction continues to overpower me. I want to live a sober life. I guess you could say I'm writing in hopes of some words of encouragement and to see if you could send me a Bible that I could claim as my own. Please and thank you. God bless you, and may he be with you day in and day out. Sincerely, your daughter in the faith. Well, as I say, we hear from so many in the prison. And here with this dear lady, we have sent her a Bible already. And it's a beautiful, special Bible. It tells you where if you're lonely or if you want to be saved or if you're discouraged and a lot of things. And we also sent some words of encouragement to help people that are under addiction, special booklet on addiction. And so just pray. And when you give and when you pray, you have a part in this ministry. So it's so important, so wonderful. Here is Scottville, Michigan. And it just writes a little short letter and says, thank you and God bless you for help in restoring my faith and love of Jesus Christ. I hope you'll be doing God's work for many years to come. And here's the beautiful thing we can say, that you can always come back to Jesus. Now we're restoring this person's faith and love for Jesus. And it's easy to drift. There's none of us that couldn't drift. And I know I have slipped away from the Lord when I wasn't as close as I should be. And so you can always come back. And here's a person that came back. And then I want to just mention something we have. We have a little Bible study we send out. It's called The New Song, The New Song. And we're going to be talking about guard your soul in this next issue. And so if you want that, I'm going to give the address just in a few minutes here. And you can write and say, I'd like the new song. And that'll help you with your Bible studies. Some of the people use them for Sunday school lessons. And so I think it'd be very beneficial. And also in there, we have excerpts from other Christians that are written in, or people written in. So I hope you'll join us. Here is another one from the prison, Kansas City, Missouri. Dear Christian Worship Hour, I said the sinner's prayer with Pastor over TV. He said, ask for the salvation booklet. Please send me one. I prayed that prayer with him. Please remember me and my dad in prayer. I got 2 years prison time. And so here's a man in prison, and he prayed that Jesus would come into his heart, take away his sins, and God did it. He did it. And, of course, we've sent literature. We have literature to help new Christians getting started in the faith, and we're more than glad to do that. And then one more letter I want to share, and, oh, this is a beautiful letter. Fargo, North Dakota, up north of us. Thank you for such a good program. Ever since I found your program on the TV, I've watched it if I'm not working. Your preaching is so real that sometimes when I watch your program, I cry. I've asked Jesus into my life, and I am a changed person. It has been a great experience. You've changed my thinking about life. Please continue to pray for me and my family. Keep up the good work and your staff also. And so here's just, isn't that beautiful? And that's what we did that because we preached the Bible. And God and the Holy Spirit takes the Bible and applies it to hearts. And see, this person came to know the Lord. It's a lady. Now, if you'd like to write to us, and if you have a problem or you have a question, you need literature, you write to us. And our address is the Christian Worship Hour. The Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or ChristianWorshipHour.com. And so I hope that you'll write. And maybe when you write, you want to tell us if you're praying for us. Maybe you want to send a gift because we have to pay our bills just like anybody else. But we'd love to hear from you. So box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now then, this question, what is your most precious possession? What do you value the most in this life? And right off, you could maybe write down. If I said write it down, who would you write down? And well, you maybe write down your husband or your wife or your child or your sweetheart or your mother or your father. Could be any of those people. Or you might write down, the most important thing to me is my money, my stocks and my bonds and my bank account and my silver and my gold. I got a lot of it, and that's the most valuable thing. And then some people would say, oh, it's their health. They're so thankful to God for the health. And boy, we are thankful for our health, but that's not the most important thing in the life in the world. We're going to show you in just a minute. Or they might talk about their education and, oh, they got all these degrees and they're so happy about that. I had an old seminary professor and he says, you know, these doctor's degrees, they're like the kink in a pig's tail. They look awful nice, but they don't add an ounce of pork. And so I'm all for education, but don't worship it. Don't make a god out of it. And so you could write down many, many things. But Peter talks about it. He tells us what the most precious thing is. And I'm praying that in this sermon today that you will agree with what St. Peter's telling us. He says, 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Your soul. Our soul is the most important thing in all of the world. There isn't anything greater. And so we're going to talk about the soul. First of all, what is the soul? When we talk about soul, S-O-U-L, what are we talking about? Well, you know, it's not a part of our body. It dwells within us. And this is a place where we have our body, and we have the spirit and the soul. But the spirit and soul has no direct, or is not in the body to stay. Because when we die, it simply means that that wonderful soul departs and goes to be with the Lord or goes into eternal judgment. And so this soul is really myself. It's what we are. And so we see it's really, it's the most important thing we have because our body is going to return to the dust from whence it came. But that soul is never going to end, and it will be there forever and ever. It's the clearest definition we have of the soul is found in Luke's rendering of the great question Jesus put about the soul. In Luke's gospel, it reads Luke 9:25. What is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself? So that's your soul. The self, that's your soul. It is thyself. It is myself. That's what the soul is. And when we talk about the soul, we're talking about the person. And the body doesn't have a thing to do with it. We just live in that body. And so it's that part of us that hopes and aspires. It's that part of us that suffers and prays and loves. It's tempted and sins and repents and comes to God. That's our soul in action and taking place. And you can put it to any test that you want. You can think about it any way you want. But your soul is absolutely the most important thing you will ever have. And there's nothing near it. take, for instance, put it to some tests and take the test of subtraction. Take away from anyone the spiritual, the soul. The soul, take that away, and what do you have left? You have a corpse. When that spirit and soul leaves that body, there's just a corpse there, a cold clod of clay. And that where there is that body, this body made up of a little iron, a little lime, little water, little sulfur, gluten, salt, and a few other tiny ingredients, that's all. And when I went to seminary, they said it figured to be about 98 cents, all that body's worth and that value of the body. And so it's amazing. But now you put your soul in that body, the soul element, the spiritual, and you have the piece of work, a piece of art. You have the great piece called man and woman, humanity. So what is the soul worth then, if it's just such an important thing? Well, you know, God says, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Your soul is bought with a price. And what is that price? How is that price? Again, God answers it. And he says, you're not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. So there you have it, friend of mine. That soul of yours, that soul of mine is absolutely beyond the most valuable thing in all of the world, because it's purchased with the blood of the Son of God. And there is no way you can put the value of the soul. It's the most wonderful thing that you have. But I want to tell you something. Something happened to that soul. And I'll tell you what it was. Man had a fall. That fall is known on every hand. Wherever you turn, you see the horrible results of the fall of man. You can look at ancient history. You can look at modern history. And you'll see that man is a fallen, debased being. Look at the world today, almost unbelievable in its wickedness and cruelty and immorality and bitterness and hatred. The front page of every newspaper and every telecast you see is telling about the evilness of man and the wickedness of man. You see, it's a horrible thing how man does. And the reason he does that is because he had a fall. The Bible tells us he had a fall. He was perfect. He was sinless. And he fell into sin. And it passed upon all of us. James asks a question that illustrates it so well. James says in James chapter 3 and verse 11, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? And of course, you know it doesn't. You know, you can search the world over, but you'll never find a fountain like that that at the same time gives bitter water and sweet water. It's just impossible. It can't be done. There's only one fountain, though, that does do that, and that's the fountain of a man's heart. And out of that heart can come worship of God and can come profanity and hatred. Take profanity, for instance. Supposing you're in church and you're worshiping Jesus and you're worshiping God, and you walk out of that church and you start cursing and swearing and blaspheming God, that same tongue, that same heart, that same person. And out of that one fountain comes blessing to God and cursing God. And how can that be? And so some people I heard say, oh, it's the brute of man in man. It's a carryover from the ape. Well, you dumb cluck, I'm going to tell you something. You ever hear of an ape cussing? No, didn't come from the ape. Came from our own wicked heart because we had a fall. And it was happened to happen in the Garden of Eden that God, man had that fall. And because of that fall, his nature is distorted. It's deranged. It's depraved. And it is destined for hell forever and ever. That's exactly what happens when we fail. And so this one, when we come to God, we have to come and have a new creation, be made anew. And God can do that, and God does that. And so, look at what Christ came then. He came to seek and to soul the save of save our soul. Jesus told us, you know, he came and he did a lot of things. And he performed miracles and he healed the sick and he gave the blind to see and he fed everybody, but and did all these wonderful things. But Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is saying, you have a soul, and that soul is made in the image of God. And that soul one time was perfect in the Garden of Eden. And then you sinned, Adam sinned. And don't get mad at Adam, we'd have done the same thing. Don't get mad at Adam, we've got Adam's sin, but we got enough sins of our own. We're leaving Adam out of the equation and out of the picture. We're all poor lost sinners. And so we have this wonderful soul, and now it's lost, and it's under the power of Satan, and it's going to, and it's destined for hell because it has sin. It besmirched with sin. And God says he will never allow one speck of sin into heaven. We have to have a clean heart, and only the blood of Jesus can do that. And so Jesus asked two questions, and he talked about to tell about the value of the soul. He says, first of all, he said, and he asked two questions, and sometimes they're both questions are kind of put together as one question, but they're two different questions. And this is what he asked. He asked, first of all, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, anybody can answer that. That's easy to answer. If he gains the whole world but loses his own soul, he's a loser. Because he lost his soul, he's going to be in hell. Yeah, I don't care how much land you have. I don't know how many cattle you have. I don't know how rich you are. We can have all of that and lose our soul in acquiring it, and then we are the lost because we're lost in a Christless eternity. That's easy to answer. If he gains the whole world, loses his own soul, he's a loser. Now, the second question is quite different. Jesus did not say, what shall a man take in exchange for his soul? Because Jesus knows, and you know, and I know, how little a man sometimes will take for his soul. Just a dollar or two, just a glimmer of prosperity or popularity, just a shade of fame and glory, just a little time of sinful pleasure, and fat little for his soul. Many a man has sold out, and it wasn't for just for a bowl of pottage, a porridge, but it was a man's soul that's gone. Jesus asked his was not what shall a man take, but he says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That is to say, when a man has wronged and defiled and betrayed his soul, when he's given it away, he's given it into sin, what can he do to get it back? How can he get that soul back? So this Jesus is asking, when you lost your soul, who's there to get it back for you? Will the world statesman put it back for you? Will the astronaut circling the earth put it back for you? Will the great scientists of the day get your soul back for you? Will the philosophers? Not a single one of them. Because if a man loses his soul, who is going to get it back? And listen, dear friend, if you lose your soul and it's lost in sin, your sorrow and your tears and your repentance and your prayers and your works and your agony, none of these will bring that back. None of these will restore that precious soul. Friend, listen. Only the Lamb of God slain upon the old rugged cross, shedding his blood, can get that soul back. And if God would, when we turn to God, we can only find our redemption of our soul and find somebody to get our soul back in perfect and beautiful and cleansed in the blood of Christ and clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I tell you how you have to do. You have to come to Jesus Christ. And you have to talk to Jesus and just tell him, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. And he knows it. And you just say, I've sinned against you, O God. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll serve, make you the Lord of my life. I'll serve you the best I can. And then you thank him. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. That's the door of your soul. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I will come into your heart and your life. If you ask me in, but if you don't ask him in, he'll never come in. He's not a trespasser. He's not going to knock doors down. As a matter of fact, when Holman Hunt painted that picture of that Christ standing outside the door, he asked his friend to look at it and tell him what he thought about it. And the friend looked at him and says, "Holman, you forgot something. You don't have a knob on the door. There's a door without a doorknob." And Hunt said, "I did that on purpose because in your heart, there's no doorknob on the outside. You open it from the inside. And if you don't open it up, it'll never be opened, ever. Your wife can't do it for you. Your husband can't do it for you. You can't do it for your children and your loved ones. It's just, you've got to have Jesus. And you have to open it yourself." So this wonderful friend of mine, this soul is away and beyond the most precious possession you have. There isn't a thing you have that comes near it. But listen to me. Listen to me now. The devil wants your soul. The devil wants your soul. He wants to have you in hell with him. He has multitudes there now, but he wants more. He's never satisfied, and he wants your soul. And Jesus said the broad road leads to destruction, leads to hell, but the narrow road leads to life eternal. The devil has his multitudes, and he wants yours too. The devil is interested in your soul, and he has your soul because you have it in sin, and you got to be liberated. You know, the angels in heaven are interested in your soul. Did you know that? When somebody comes back to Jesus, when a sinner comes to Jesus and he gives himself to the Lord Jesus, my dear God, the angels in heaven rejoice. And then it says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels, and that means the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rejoice. When a soul comes, and if you come to Jesus right now, there'd be rejoicing in heaven. Yes, the devil wants your soul. Angels are interested in your soul. Jesus wants your soul. I beg of you, take care of that soul. Because, dear friend, let nothing in your life, in your home life, your business life, your social life, your hidden life, the thing down in the depths of your heart, let nothing stain or hurt or defile that soul, but instead that beautiful thing, that immortal soul, that precious possession, give it to Jesus. Have you committed your soul to the rightful Redeemer? That's what the great transaction is, that great transaction done where you've accepted Jesus into your life. St. Paul writes to young Timothy, and he says, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." In other words, Paul is saying, "I've given my heart to my soul and my heart to the Lord Jesus, and I committed my heart to him, and he has written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he's baptized me with the Holy Spirit, so I'm a part of the body of Christ. And I belong to him, and I belong to him forever." And so Jesus will say, but you need to come to him. Jesus is saying right now, as in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever heareth my word," now you've heard it, "whosoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," that the belief has to come from you. And all belief is just believing God, is saying amen to what God says. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life." Jesus said that. The moment you put your faith and trust in him, you have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That is, you will never go to hell, but you're passed from death unto life. Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 24. It's my favorite verse. I love that verse because I know I'm going to heaven. Oh, yeah, you think you're going because you're a preacher. My preaching, the way I preach, I wouldn't get in the front door of heaven the way I preach. But I'm going to go to heaven because I have all my sins washed away. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they're going to be just like wool, new shorn wool that just glistens white." And so that's what you need to do. Come to Jesus. And so just ask Jesus and tell him you're a sinner and ask him, Jesus, please come into my heart, take away my sins, and I'll serve you the best I can. I'll make you the Lord of my life. And if you do that, you write to us, and we'll send you literature. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to help us financially, we need your help. We got to pay our way just like anybody else. So ask God, well, should I help them? Do you believe this is something of the Lord? And you do what God says and ask him how much to send, and you can do it. You can send it on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And if you worry about how we're using the money, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they audit our books, not only what we get, but what we give. So now I'm going to pray. And every time we pray for Christians suffering in another country. So we're praying for Pakistan. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the multitudes coming to you now. And now we pray that you'll be with your people wherever they are, especially the persecuted church. And in Pakistan, oh God, help those dear people and those that are left behind, because the ones that have been, those are the martyr there in the presence of the Lord, but those left behind, give comfort. And to those on beds of sickness and shut-ins and the aged and the hurting, just bless them, Lord. Help them to know that you're with them and you'll never leave them or forsake them, and that you love them and that we love them. And oh God, carry us along. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we need your help. You've got it on the screen there. Christian Worship Hour, 2002, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. If you want a little booklet on salvation, we can send that. If you want, and then you get the new song, you can see excerpts, some letters. It's just a wonderful thing. And so I hope you'll just ask the Lord what to do and then take it from there. Because if the Lord wants us to carry on, he'll always supply the ways. And if he doesn't, well, we're just going to close up. We don't want to spend our time doing it. If God isn't in it and if his blessing isn't on it, we're wasting our time. But we know that something's happening because we're using the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And he's all over the world. And I believe that there are many that have come to Jesus right this morning, right this day, right this time. And you'll find joy and you'll find peace. I'm not saying you'll get rich, but you'll have help and strength and peace in knowing Jesus. And so we just pray that God will bless every one of you. And those having special troubles, lean on Jesus, count on him. And we'll plan to be with you next week. Lord willing, God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.